Hello, and welcome back to episode 3 of RTS Reloaded, where we dive into the latest and greatest in the RTS scene. This episode is packed with tournament recaps, game updates, and community engagements that are heating up in the strategy world. We kick off with a recap in StarCraft II of the Big Gabe ExperienCraft $2,500 tournament. A thrilling event hosted by Hero Marine. The event was cast by Big Gabe / Hero Marine himself and Roddy. It was a hit, and there is promising potential for an annual tradition. Churning to Stormgate, we delve into the Alpha Navigators Cup number 9, the Stormgate team's active engagement with the community, especially on Reddit. We also have an update on a community-created tool by Ghost. Zero Space gears up for its next alpha phase with a February update. The community is also invited to vote on a new mercenary faction. Lastly, Immortal Gates of Pyre update with a stream from Tempo with Dylan, It Who Speaks Khan, and an art contest inviting the community to showcase their creativity. Alright, let's dive into StarCraft II. The big tournament of the weekend was the Big Gabe ExperienCraft $2,500 single day tournament held by Hero Marine. It was an open bracket, 16 player double elimination, top 6 advanced to the playoffs. All matches are best of 3 until you reach the finals. The playoffs were double elimination bracket. All matches are best of 3 besides the finals. Winners and losers finals are best of 3. Grand finals are best of 5 with a best of 3 reset match in case the player from the lower bracket wins. Now, there were a lot of really great matches throughout the day. Lambo looked at the top of his game, playing very well all day. Clem, coming in as the tournament favorite, did not disappoint, winning the whole thing, but it did take him a few games to get warmed up and get up to speed. All in all, Big Gabe and Roddy did a wonderful job casting. It was a fun tourney that I hope will become a yearly thing. Not too much else is happening in the world of StarCraft II, but I do have a question for the audience. What matchup do you hate playing, or do you hate watching in tournaments? I'm not the biggest fan of mirror matches, although I guess my favorite to watch would be ZvZ, and worst to play is TVT, because it can just get so turtly, and I don't find that as fun of a matchup. So please let me know in the comments, or reach out and just, let me know what matchup you either hate playing or you hate watching in tournaments. I'd just love to know everyone's opinion. And on another side note, I'm looking to sponsor some tournaments to help support the community and get the RTS Reloaded podcast out to more viewers. So if you know of any upcoming tournaments or streamers that are looking for sponsors, let me know on any of my social media, Twitter/X, Reddit, Discord, etc. All those links will be in the description, and just let me know. I would really appreciate it. Now, I think because Stormgate's in its open beta, we're going to have a lot to talk about. And I think this will be kind of cyclical as things open and close betas and alphas and things like that. First off, we're going to look at the Alpha Navigators Cup number 9. The Alpha Navigators Cup is a weekly Stormgate tournament started during the game's closed alpha playtest, which has 3 different regions, America, EMEA, and APAC. The AmeriCup was 2 Vanguard versus 6 Infernal, but Mixu and Theory quickly worked their way up the brackets into the finals, where Theory won 3-2 in a best of 5. The EMEA also saw more Infernals than Vanguard, with this time only 1 Vanguard who would be knocked out in the quarterfinals, leaving just Infernal mirror matches in the semis and the finals. The finals were between Theory and Snockstar. Theory, seeing the finals twice this week, was defeated by Snockstar. Theory also mentioned they will be traveling next week and will not be able to attend the tournaments, so we might see some new faces in the finals next week. Then, the APAC had a different format than the other two cups, which were Swiss format, while the APAC was a double elimination format. seeing a much better spread of factions, 5 Vanguard and 6 Infernals. Both Theory and Snuckstar played in the upper bracket semifinals, Theory winning there to take on Kiwan, who along with Percival were quickly working their way through the bracket. Kiwan sent Theory to the lower bracket during the upper bracket finals, 2-1, where Theory faced Percival, who had just beaten Snuckstar, leaving Kiwan and Percival in the grand finals, where Percival won 3-0. There were a lot of great games, and this will be a weekly tournament from what I can tell, but once the beta closes on the 11th, we'll have to wait and see what will happen to the future of the Alpha Navigators Cup. Might open up during the next open beta, which should include the third faction. Stormgate staff has been active in the Reddit, responding to a post made by Vinelius, where he posted a video on campaign level design review, and FGS Gerald Valoria, the communications director for Frost Giant Studios, thanked the creator of the video and let them know that the video was shared with the team, which must feel great as a content creator. Vinelius mentioned in StarCraft 1 how they liked the specialization of each enemy base, and in StarCraft 2 how each mission had a gimmick of sorts, where either the terrain was an active participant in the mission, having the player factor that into their decisions, or some other fun thing that made the mission interesting. They also enjoyed missions that pushed the player forward and was not just turtle until the player had a big enough army to win. They also liked how in Warcraft 3, players were rewarded for exploration by having a neutral creep camp outside the main path with unique items that would be carried for the entire campaign. Vinelius also encouraged Stormgate to include in missions fighting multiple factions at the same time, as well as the other positive elements from other RTS campaigns. Again, Gerald, right here, said they shared it with the team, which is just absolutely awesome. Another post by Morning Lieutenant Mountain, or Morning LTMTN, I'm just going to call Morning Lieutenant Mountain, who posted about a follow guard feature, where in StarCraft 2, if you right-click a unit, the units that surround that unit will be in guard mode, surrounding the unit and attacking anything that comes near it. But in Stormgate, they will just be on follow. Frostmonk, Kevin Dong, the lead competitive designer, goes on to explain their original thought when creating this feature to allow for sneaky following for future stealth units, and more recently notes that he is leaning on doing it more like it is suggested by the LP. Morning Lieutenant Mountain appreciated the response, and it is great to hear why or the thought process that goes into some of these decisions by game makers. Also, more confirmation that Invis or stealth units are coming in the future. It was pretty much guaranteed, as there are observer units like the Ultra Fast Weavers. Definitely quickly spot things around the map. Another quick update. Last week, I featured an amazing website that has a wonderful tool, rtsbase.com. I had made a suggestion, and the super talented Ghost was able to implement it already. And what it does, it shows you the reduced build time when having multiple bobs building. And honestly, this is such valuable information for builds. Also, to see how even just a few extra bobs speed up the building, it is kind of insane. All right, we have a command post right here. It takes a minute 30 with one bob. You bump that up to 4 bobs, 36 seconds, shave off almost a full minute. And if you want a command post quickly, 10 bobs, 18 seconds. 18 seconds. You could have a command post. Now that's 10 bobs, not mining. But for 18 seconds, I mean, think of the possibilities. But the jump from like, even just adding an extra one takes off 30 seconds, 45 for 3, and like I said, almost a minute for 4. That's huge. The time's definitely, it's not worth it to add too much more after that. 5 for 30 is only 6 seconds as opposed to 9, 30, and 15. So But this is just such a really cool, and the fact that they were able to implement that in less than a week is actually really, really awesome. There was one thing that I did not get to factor in. So I'm going to talk about it now, kind of on the fly. I haven't really looked at this yet. I noticed it earlier as I was writing up my notes for this podcast. So Frost Giant on their Discord said, "Hello everyone, we recently posted a FAQ on Frost Giant's plans for our early access release and how we aim to fund the ongoing development of Stormgate for years to come. You can find the FAQ here," which is what we're going to take a look at real quick. Frost Giant committed to being transparent with their community, and no questions have come up around their funding status and crowdfunding campaigns. Please know that their intent was never to mislead, and they recognize there are opportunities for them to be clearer. They hope the FAQ addresses remaining questions or confusion and helps to reaffirm confidence in the great future they are planning for Stormgate. So, what does Frost Giant mean when referring to release or launch? For the dev team, the moment the game goes into full live operation is what they consider launch or release. From that moment forward, other than short server updates, their team will be continuously working to provide uninterrupted service. That's the fundamental shift for them and is unambiguously what they think of as launch or release. So, per that understanding, Stormgate will release in Q3 of this year. This is our early access milestone, and they expect to spend at least another year polishing the game and expanding the scope for the next milestone, which is the 1.0 release. And then another year after that for the next major release. As long as the market supports it, they hope to continue expanding and improving Stormgate for a very long time. So, what do they plan to include in the early access? They plan to provide the one-on-one or 1v1 competitive three-player co-op against AI, three free introductory campaign missions, and the initial act of the Vanguard campaign when they release early access. Each of those modes will continue to grow from that point as they gradually add more maps, more heroes, and more stories. After the initial release, but still during early access period, they intend to introduce the first version of their 3v3 competitive mode, their three-player cooperative experience for campaign mode, and they plan to provide the very first version of the editor. They may also share an early look at other features that they are playtesting. So, how does Frost Giant expect to finance the release of Stormgate? Independent studios typically require additional rounds of venture capital to release their games. However, Frost Giant is fortunate to have already garnered strong investor support. Prior to their Kickstarter, Frost Giant raised enough capital from investors to release Stormgate into early access. Their investors are fully aware of their financial strategy, including the Start Engine crowd equity campaign. They have received strong positive support throughout. So, what's the purpose of the Kickstarter and Start Engine campaigns? The Kickstarter campaign primarily funded the physical collector's editions and offset server costs to provide wider beta access. The Kickstarter was highly successful. They thank everyone for their support and also generated some surplus, which Frost Giant is investing directly back into development. Where the Kickstarter provided backers with beta access, and in some cases physical goods, Frost Giant's Start Engine campaign is a stock offering. Stock offerings on Start Engine and the communication about them are regulated by the US government. Stock value can be volatile, and it's important for potential investors to be mindful of the risks involved. The equity Frost Giant is selling through Start Engine is aimed towards investors, but also open to the community. This is earmarked to help self-publish and market Stormgate's release in the West. It's possible that excess capital could again be generated, which would again get invested back into development. It is important to understand that owning stock is not the same as profit sharing. Value is derived from stock by selling that stock. When companies are at an early stage, their stock has limited liquidity. For those unfamiliar with stock trading, please consult a professional investment advisor prior to making any investments. So, how will Frost Giant Fund continue operations after early access release? The goal of Stormgate's initial early access release is to deliver a profitable product which sustains ongoing operations on the strength of its sales. Frostgiant has worked for years to build Stormgate and to create awareness. Positive indications from the Kickstarter and Steam NextFest performance led Frostgiant to expect that Stormgate will be successful at early access, while acknowledging that there is always some degree of risk. So are you going to run out of money if you're not profitable out of the gate? If Stormgate is unexpectedly not profitable at the onset, Frostgiant is fortunate to have additional runway in the form of cash reserves. These reserves provide stability in the event of revenue shortfalls, and combined with revenue from early access release, are expected to carry Stormgate to the 1.0 launch. And combined with the revenue from early access release, are expected to carry Stargate to a 1.0 launch. Frostgiant's resources, while finite, are consistent with the original business plan, and correspondingly, they believe they have sufficient capital to achieve success. They also have several other potential capital sources, and Frostgiant expects to work with publishing partners in Asia, which means other companies would market Stormgate in Asia in exchange for regional revenue share. These deals frequently involve upfront licensing fees and or minimal guarantees, but not always. Then it goes into how efficient Frostgiant's spending is, why Frostgiant is approaching business differently, why has Frostgiant decided to self-publish, and why only in the West. And then they end on where is the roadmap, which they're working on. Their plan is to share an overview of the content rollout plan for next beta testing phase, codenamed Frigate, followed by our initial early access release, codename Griffin and Beyond. We plan to playtest early work on our third faction in Frigate, which should be available to closed playtesters in the first half of April. What? First half of April, that's a month away. They also end with a disclaimer. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response, will not be accepted. No offer to buy the securities can be accepted, and no part of the purchase price can be received until the offering statement is filed. And only through an intermediary's platform, an indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. Reserving securities is simply an indication of interest. So I think that clears up a lot of what we talked about last week with all the drama surrounding the Kickstarter and funding and things beyond that. Also, Gerald made a post today at 9:14 p.m., a little less than an hour ago. This week, we are publishing our first major lore drop, Beyond the Brink. They will be releasing a new chapter every day this week, culminating in the final chapter on Friday. The full 5-chapter e-novella will be available this Friday as a free PDF download. Please enjoy. Ooh, maybe this will be building on the lore of Stormgate. So it has, chapter 1. It's a pretty decent-sized chapter. I'll definitely be reading that. Let me know if you want me to narrate that on a separate podcast. Or I could do like a short little episode where I can either narrate them or get some AI voice to do it. So, yeah, just let me know. But that'll be interesting. I'll definitely be reading that. Moving on to Zero Space. Big news. We have the date of the next alpha, March 22nd to April 19th. So get your vacation time ready and let's dive right in. So the Zero Space team also put out a February update that was posted to the Kickstarter. First, they posted about the Winter Bash with links to the bracket on Challenge and linking to the 2 days of VODs from Morty's stream. Although after checking the day one VOD, although the tournament is in the title, after skipping around through the VOD, I didn't see any Zero Space gameplay, only StarCraft 2. But the day 2 VOD is full of really great Zero Space tournament play, with Elazer becoming the Winter Bash champion. And if you are in the Discord, make sure to voice your opinion for the best game and the best strategy of the Winter Bash tournament. They also posted a video from DreamHack Atlanta of a mix of DreamHack attendees playing Zero Space, from the casual DreamHack goer to Scarlet, Clem, and a Laser. It also features some quick feedback from a handful of DreamHack attendees, as well as a Laser, the Winter Bash champion. They finished the video with a heartwarming message, thanking everyone for watching. Quote, "Your help in keeping RTS alive is crucial, and it doesn't go unnoticed. Thank you for the overwhelming support. We look forward to the future of RTS, the Zero Space team." In the newsletter, they dive into the development progress, first off by thanking the alpha players and their thoughtful feedback, and then letting everyone know that significant progress has been made across various aspects of the game, thanks to valuable feedback from alpha testers. Here are the key highlights. The introduction of Artemis, a new air unit for the Protectorate faction. It's capable of engaging both air and ground targets effectively. Its unique EMP ability can disrupt enemy lines by knocking back, slowing, and draining energy from units. Additionally, it's equipped with 3 healing beams, allowing it to support multiple units simultaneously and maintain the combat effectiveness of allied forces. So right here, you can see a little bit of it. That's the Artemis. Pew, 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 pew. But I'm also healing. Pew, pew. Very cool. Team colors have been added to improve visual clarity during gameplay. This feature makes it easier for players to identify which units belong to which player, which is very important in an RTS game. The Weaver got a rework. The Weaver unit has undergone significant changes due to its underutilization in its original form. A new aura has been added that doubles friendly healing, and its active ability has been completely reworked. The Cocoon ability now traps a target unit in a cocoon, rendering it invulnerable and healing it if it's an ally. We also get the first look at the Rhino Rider, a swift melee unit, perfect for scouting and surprisingly durable. Its passive ability allows for single target knockback and bonus damage, activated when the unit's mana is full. Zero Space is also asking the community to vote on the 7th Mercenary faction. The development team is inviting backers to vote on which 3 potential mercenary factions. Voting is taking place on the Zero Space Discord in the Backer Voting channel. The candidates are Sanctuary, a vital space station in the Orion Quadrant, acting as a hub for cross-species medical emergencies. It's supported by a network of mercenaries in the trade city of Jeevis. The Indari, a peaceful subfaction of the Arondi, endowed with immense powers, but shunned and hunted by their own kind for their supposed possession by other dimensional entities. The Eidolians, a tree-dwelling species known for their defensive nature, expertise in gathering information, and conducting warfare through drones and covert units, often viewed as cowardly by other species. These updates and the call for community involvement in deciding the next mercenary faction underscore the development team's commitment to enhancing gameplay and engaging with the player base. They finished the newsletter by letting everyone know what is coming in the March Alpha, which will include a sneak peek of the single player campaign, some new heroes, some game mode surprises, and much more. As a new backer, I am pumped. If you want to support this game, you can by wishlisting it on Steam or backing it on BackerKit. Immortal Gates of Pyre had Dylan It Who Speaks Khan, who is founder and the director of Setting for Sunspirit Games, a business strategist, world builder, character designer, gameplay design, and according to his Twitter, he is also a friend to human beings the world over. So check out the VOD on Tempo's Twitch to watch them playing and chatting. You will find out about bug fixes, Arox's lore, playtests, and Dylan's favorite unit, spoiler alert, it's Thrums, Fun fact about Thrums I learned in the Discord is when a unit dies in the vicinity of the Thrums, they get an attack speed buff, which is actually really cool. So check out the stream and get your alpha key, and let's discover more awesome units. I also heard there was a flying High Templar type unit that has impact damage on Storm. Now that sounds awesome. Also, last week I was pronouncing Qrath incorrectly. I was pronouncing it with a Q, Qrath, and this is directly from It Who Speaks himself. The Q sound is the back of the throat K sound found in Arabic, so it's more Qrath, Qrath, Qrath. That's fun to say. Sunspear is also hosting an art contest that opened up on Twitter/X. The competition starts March 1st, closes on March 24th, and the voting period will run from March 26th through the 29th. The top 10 winners will be announced on March 31st. To submit your drawing, please join the Discord and start a conversation in off-topic, and make sure to categorize it under art. Please include your Discord name and social media handles. On March 26th, you'll be provided with a way to vote. The theme for March is draw a unit that you would like to see in Immortal. Please keep your art appropriate and follow the Sunspear values. Please keep your art appropriate and follow the Sunspear values. There are also many passionate and nerdy RTS and lore fans in the Discord, so jump in and hang out with some great people. Discord link will be among the links below. That is all for today. We discussed tournaments, studio involvement in the community, contests, community-created tools, and so much more. I really appreciate you checking out RTS Reloaded. Remember, we're always looking for ways to improve, so if you have any suggestions, feel free to let us know. And remember, keep your bases built and your strategies bold. This is Judge Thunder with RTS Reloaded, signing off. Game on, Commanders.